Good morning. Give me Jesus. Amen. Come on. You can have it all. Have everything. Give me Jesus. Who's ready for that today? Who wants, that new pickup truck that Jimmy just got, you ready to leave that behind? And you know what I'm saying? Huh? Awesome. Give me Jesus. Thank you, Val. That blessed me. All right. We're still in the book of James. Last week we talked about how jealous God was, not a jealousy like of human jealousy, but how he longed for us, how he put his spirit in us, and he longs for that. Today, we're going to talk about the path to victory. Who could use victory right now? Who's fighting the battle? Y'all lying. Who's fighting the battle? We got three people in here that are alive. Three people. The rest of you are gone. If you're walking with Jesus Christ in 2024, you're fighting a battle. If you're walking, if you're standing still, a battle's coming at you. So we're going to talk about that today. One of my favorite scriptures in all of the Gospels, all of the New Testament. Before we do that, I'm going to talk about a word. We'll start with that word in a little bit. Therefore. Anybody ever wonder how come therefore is in the Bible so many times? Matter of fact, I Googled it. How many people think that they know how many times therefore was used in the Bible other than Kirk? He's a trivia master, and Karen. In the King James Version of the Bible, therefore is used 1,237 times. A wise man once said, when you read therefore, you should think about what it's there for. It has significance. It's contained in some of the greatest scriptures in all the Bible. I'm going to read you a couple of them. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. That's in Acts 2:36. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you have to eat, or about your body, or what you have to wear. Luke 12:22. And the last one that I'm going to read today is, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you to do. And surely, I am with you always, to the very end of the age. Matthew 28:18-20. In most cases, right before the word is used, God is pointing us to an action. He is bringing us back to his creation. God is trying to reconcile a relationship with us. When you read therefore, think of what it's there for. Then following the therefore, the word is usually action that God asks us to do. It should be act as a signal for our call to action. So with all that being said, I'm going to start in James 4, verses 7 and 8. I'll be reading from the Christian Standard Bible as I normally do. I think for all these two scriptures today, we're going to cover the two scriptures today. I'm getting ready to go downstairs and eat. So I'm looking forward to that. It's good to see each one of you here this morning. We had little late arrivals, and it's good to see each one of you. James chapter 4, verse 7 starts out, therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Verse 8 says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. The first point I want to make is in the first part of chapter 4, verse 7. James begins with a foundational principle, submission to God. What does it mean? What does it mean to submit to God? It means to surrender to me. For Bob, it means to surrender my will and my desires and my ambitions to a sovereign authority, which is Jesus Christ. That's what it means for me. And I think that's what it means for you. My wills and desires have to change, have changed. They changed drastically this year. A year ago today, Valerie and I are outside of Lakeland, Florida, at an Overland Expo, and with friends. It came up on Facebook today. I didn't know that, but it came up on Facebook memories. So I had, you know, my weeks, months, years now have changed. And I thank God for that, because it's drawing me closer to Him. And I want that for everyone. What's driving you today? What is your ambitions and desires? We all have them. What are they based on? Submission to God. In every aspect of our lives, we must acknowledge His lordship and yield to His perfect will. If you try to do it on your own, folks, you're going to hit a brick wall, especially if you're called by Him. You're speaking, you're looking at somebody that's done that a lot. His lordship, making Him the number one thing in your life, changes things. It changes your marriage. It changes your finances. It changes the way you look at other people. I tried it the other way. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight." There's people sitting in here this morning that need their path straightened. My path's not straight as it should be, I'll be honest with you. I'm still in the construction phase. I'm not in the finish phase. And until I meet my Lord and Savior on the other side, it's going to be that way. So I know some of you are sitting in here with some burdens because you've relied on your own intuition, your own education. You've leaned on religion, the way we've always done it. And thank God He's a patient God. He called us last week an adulterer and adulteress. I was like, whoa, that's hard, because He's jealous for us. What's the most important thing in my life today? In Bob Ivan's life, what's the most important thing? I'll share it with you. I pray it every day now. It's something I just started praying. Jesus, I want all of you. I want all of you. Whatever you have, whatever's available, whatever your word promises me, give it to me. I'm too old to worry about what you all think. There was a time in my life that used to, you know, I had an air about me. Some of you folks have known me for a long time. Not no more. It's Jesus. And I want that for everyone. The second part of verse 4 says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Along with submission, God demands us to resist the devil, to resist the enemy. 1 Peter 5 and 8 says, Satan prowls like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. That's not a salvation issue, folks. He's not going to try to take your salvation. He can't take your salvation. He doesn't have that authority. But he certainly can make your road rough. He can make it rocky. He can put some detours in it. I deal with people every week that have some major detours. They've been sent to prison. Good Christian men now, serving the Lord, and they'll tell you about their detours. Satan is seeking to devour not only this church, but everyone sitting in this church, everyone we know, our family members. Oh, but we have a greater God in us than we have an enemy. But through the power of Jesus Christ dwelling within us, We have the authority to stand against that. We have the authority. We can resist temptations. We can resist the lies of the enemy. Satan still tells me every week, every day, this over here is better. I'm human, folks. I got a lot of human on me. This over here is a little bit better. It's okay to go there. It's okay to watch that. It's okay to maybe click on that. No, it's not. We all know what I mean. It's not. It's okay to have that little glass there. It ain't going to hurt you, one of them. No, it won't. But if you're like me, that one's going to turn into 100. It's who I am. It's what I am. We have the power. Ephesians 6:11. Put on the full armor of God so that when you stand against the schemes, so you can stand against the schemes of the devil. We're in a battle. We're warriors. He's talking about armor. He's talking about putting it on every morning. If you don't start your morning in prayer, if you don't start your morning reading your Bible, I'm not being legalistic about this, I'm just being truthful. If you don't get a good night's rest, it goes beyond that. If you don't take care of your body, then putting on that full armor of God is not going to be as beneficial as it should be. You're not going to put it on, for matter of fact, if you're not found on your knees and in prayer before the day begins. I'm not saying stay there for 2 hours, but I'm saying start every day. For your family, your kids, your grandkids. We're getting ready to celebrate a birth. We're getting ready to celebrate grandkids coming into a family. They're going to need it. The world that Bob Ivins grew up in, I was born in 1958. I think that was before a Civil War. It was a long time ago. The world that I grew up in is different than the world that you young people are growing up into, your children are going to grow up into. We're a post-Christian society, folks. I wasn't going to bring this up, but I have time. Yesterday, I was contacted by a witch. She contacted me yesterday, and she wrote this dissertation about how she relies in Satan himself. And I know this girl. Matter of fact, I went to school with her. I went to high school with her. She's old like me. And her whole life has come down to where she believes she's a witch. I don't doubt it. I don't have any problem with that. I've met witches before. I've talked to witches many times in my life. It's something I actually don't enjoy because I feel sorry for them. But 10 or 15 or 20 or 30 years ago, that wouldn't have happened. But she had the ability to contact me and say, here's what I believe. And I prayed about it for a while. I didn't know what to do. Because everybody, I've got 5,000 people following me on Facebook. I got everybody looking at me from all over the United States, all over the world. I didn't know how to respond. And I finally got down and I responded to her. And I thanked her for sharing that with me. But I also told her that I've tried everything this world has to offer. I've tried it all, and it left me wanting. And that Jesus Christ is the only way that you're going to find peace. The only way that you're going to have salvation. The only way that life's going to be worth living. Because what this wicked position is going to take from you is going to take your life. Because suicide is the next path for her decision. And that breaks my heart. And I told her, I said, please contact me if you want to dig into this further. Because I'm interested in talking with you. And I did that in love. Because I was. That's the world in which we live. Satan is bold. He's seeking who he may devour. And that happened yesterday. I'll show it to you. I've got it on my Facebook page.
I saw a magazine going through Ingalls. And it said witches on it.
Yeah. Karen just said she saw a magazine. And it was on the counter there. It said witches. It's a popular thing now. The church isn't working. It's powerless. Let's try this. That's basically what she was saying in her post. She didn't say that explicitly, but she said, this is where I found my peace, in Satan.
Her road is smooth.
Huh?
Her road is smooth.
It is. Verse 1 John 4:4 says, you are of God, little children, and you have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he is in the world. Folks, Satan is not omniscient. He's not all-knowing. You know, we give Satan a lot of credit. A lot of our sin is our flesh. Satan ain't got nothing. I mean, Satan's our enemy. But a lot of that stuff that we're entered into as a believer in Jesus Christ is what we like to do. I know that's Bob. Maybe the rest of you have gotten further down the road. He doesn't know everything. He can't read my mind. He can't see into my heart. Satan doesn't have that power. He's depending solely upon what he sees me doing. Trial and error. And if he sees your weakness, he's going to work in that area of your life. Isaiah 14:6, it's talking about the king of Babylon falling. And Babylon is a type of hell, and the king of Babylon is a type of Satan. And Isaiah writes this in 14:16, they that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that has made the earth to tremble, that did shake the kingdoms? Is this the man that did it? Is this the man that keeps the church hobbled, that we don't want to praise and worship? Is this the man that every time the doctor gives us bad news, or every time something falls apart in our life, or every time that we have an issue that we cower? Is this the man? Certainly not. I'm going to tell you a story real quick. I got a little yakky dog at home. A lot of you have been to my house. That dog is nuts. I mean, it is. It's about this big, and it doesn't realize it's this big. Seriously, it's nuts. I mean, really. And if you run from that dog, what's that dog going to do, Val? Going to chase you. We had a 350-pound man fall down in the floor trying to get away from that little chihuahua dog a few months ago. It was embarrassing. My dog thought it was funny. She just grinned. I mean, but if you run from that little dog, she's going to come after you. One night, long time ago, Val and I pulled into Dallas, Texas, with a big old tractor and trailer. Oh, it's pretty. I had a pretty truck. Great big old trailer. And our delivery wasn't until the next morning. Gates were closed. Big distribution center. Oh, my goodness. From here to that new house over there, it went for half a mile. Doors everywhere. But the lights were on. Gate was shut. So I pulled up to the gate, and I sat there for a while, and I got on the phone. Nobody would answer the phone. So I said, I'm going to go up there and knock on the door. I said, well, the gate's shut. I said, well, I jumped across the gate. It didn't have any Constantine wire on it like a lot of our places we went. Just had those chain link fences around it.
It's still like 10 feet tall.
It was a big gate. So I climbed the gate, come back down, went over and knocked on the door. And there was lights on. The whole place was lit up. There was cars there. So I said, man, if I can get unloaded tonight, I won't have to deal with Dallas traffic in the morning. Dallas is a big city, like Atlanta, you know. Dallas-Fort Worth is bigger than Atlanta. So I said, I'll get in there and get this load off. I'm knocking on that door, and I'm peeking in the window and stuff, and all of a sudden, way down the other end of that building, I hear this pack of dogs coming. And they're coming. And of course, all I can imagine is they have got, like, their junkyard dogs. They're put in there to keep people from coming across the gate. So I maybe had from here to the back sink in there, the back of the building. And I see these shadows. You know, they're casting these lights up on this building. And I see these shadows, and they're coming. And they're getting closer and closer. So I turn around, and I boogie. And I get back across that chain link fence. But in the process, I rip my britches.
Climbing the fence.
I was getting it. And I ripped my britches. And it dug into my meat a little bit, but I was, thank the Lord, I was safe. Them dogs didn't get me. When them dogs got there, they were about that big. Val thought it was the funniest thing. That whole pack of dogs wouldn't weigh 50 pounds. I think I could have took them. It's funny now. But my point is, how many times in our lives have we done the same thing? We see that temptation out here. We remember how it tasted, how it smelled. You know, we remember that little bit of pleasure for a season. And the Word of God tells us in Isaiah, when we see Satan in the person, we're going to wonder how in the world. Not that we have more power over him. Don't misread what I'm saying. But the power is in us, in Christ Jesus, that dwells in us, that we can overcome that. We have that power. Oh, my goodness. Point three. James chapter 4, verse 8. The first part of, I think it's the whole, yeah, it is. Get this, folks. If you don't get nothing else today, forget about the dog story. Forget that. That's just a story. It's true. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. He may draw near to you. He might. He promises us. He will draw near to you. He will draw near to me. As we submit to God and resist the devil, He will invite us into an intimate communion with the Heavenly Father. Intimate. Like I know Val, and Val knows me. Intimate, even more so. Because there's things that I don't know about Val, and there's things Val don't know about me. I mean, we've been together now for a long, long time, but there's still things, but not for God. It's intimate. Draw near to God. It gives us a responsibility. We take the step. He calls us by faith. We're saved through by grace and faith alone. I get that. But to draw close to Him, we got to take that step. It's instructional. It's important. It's of the utmost importance that we take that step, that we draw near to God. It involves, I'm going to give you the key to it all. It's simple. It involves spending time in prayer. He wants to hear from you. He wants to talk to you. Study the Word every day. Get in the Word. You want to live a victorious life? It's so simple. Don't wait till you're my age. Don't. Get in the Word every day. Worship Him. I sit in the house and worship and sing. If somebody rode by, I don't know if my neighbors can hear me or not, but I love to worship. And I do it most of the time by myself. I got a karaoke machine. I sing for hours. Tears rolling down my face. It's the weirdest thing. If you were to walk in there, you'd have me committed. But I enjoy it. It's real. I feel His presence. Psalms 145, verse 18 said, "The Lord is near to all who call out to Him, and all who call out to Him with integrity. He wants you to call out to Him, folks. Hebrews 10:19-22 says, "Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have boldness to enter the sanctuary through the blood of Jesus, He has inaugurated for us a new and living way through the curtain, that is, through His flesh. And since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith." In full assurance of faith. Guaranteed. 100% full assurance, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed in pure water. The last point today is James chapter 4, the second part of verse 8. Cleanse your hands, sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Drawing near to God requires holiness. He's going to help you with that. It's through the sanctification of our walk. But He does ask us to examine our hearts. Take a look. Repenting. I repent all the time. I do. Lord, forgive me of that. Forgive me thinking that. Forgive me saying that. Forgive me of seeing that. Forgive me of being rude to my wife. I do that a lot because she's easy to do that to. And I don't say that with any, but you know, we live together. We have nothing else but each other. Forgive me. I hope you're doing the same thing, Val.
I did say I'm sorry yesterday.
Turning away from everything that hinders our relationship with Him. We can't experience the fullness of God if we harbor sin in our lives. Not the fullness. We can experience God. You're not going to lose your salvation if you are saved. If you're not saved, you better get saved because He's about to come back. If you don't know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, you better do it today. I plan on waking up in glory tomorrow. I hope so. I'm excited about it. I can't wait. I can't wait. I've done this. Been here, done that. Got the postcard. Got the t-shirt. It's good. I've loved it. But oh, what I'm going to. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Join with me this week in asking God to examine us. Examine us as a church. Examine us as elders. Examine us as members, as visitors. Examine us. Psalms 139, 23, and 24 says, and I pray this a lot, search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my concerns. See if there's any offensive way in me. He don't have to look too far. He's going to find it because it's there. It's there. Lead me in the everlasting way. As we reflect on it this morning, are we really resisting the enemy's attacks? Or is there some little thing, is there that one little thing that we enjoy that's really not bringing any real fulfillment in our lives, but is that one little place that we haven't surrendered? That one little thing that we haven't really given up yet? Oh yeah, we come. We come on Sunday. Yeah, that's good. Thank you. Keep coming. Don't quit coming. And when we get out of James, I'm not going to preach like James wrote, hopefully. But while I'm going through James, I'm going to preach the truth. Is it that one little thing? Are we diligently seeking intimacy with our Heavenly Father? Or are we too busy with life to get down with that? Is it too easy for us to talk about our neighbor? Is it too easy for us not to extend a hand? Is it too easy for us to focus inward? May the Holy Spirit empower us to walk in obedience and experience the abundant life that Jesus Christ has promised us. The path to victory in the Christian life has to begin with submission to God. As we yield to His Lordship, resist the devil, draw near to Him, and pursue holiness, we will find ourselves walking in the fullness of His presence and experiencing His victory in our lives every day. So let us help. Help me. Let me help you commit to a life of submission. That's what He said in these two verses. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ, if you've never made that public confession, it's a public thing. It's not something you do in hiding. It's not something, my goodness, he didn't hide when they hung Him to the cross. It's something you do publicly if you've never done it. And you feel the Holy Spirit drawing you this morning. You feel that there's a tug. There's been something that's just not right. There's been something I've been dealing with, but I don't want to surrender it. No better time. Or, if you're like me, there's been times in your life that you've just run cold and indifferent. You remember that time that you prayed the prayer of salvation. You asked the Lord to forgive you of your sins and you repented, but you've been wayward. You've walked away. The burdens of life have consumed you. No better time than this morning to recommit your life. Church, I urge you for that. That's what we do here. We speak the truth of this word. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for James and how he so boldly proclaims the gospel. Father, the resurrected Christ had such an impact on him, Father. And I pray that that resurrected Christ has such an impact on me and everyone in the sound of my voice, that we will be different tomorrow than we are today, and the next day, and the next day, Lord, that you will lead us and guide us by your Holy Spirit, that you said it would come and live in us. Father, help us, Lord, to love one another and to love this community around us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay. 252.